John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQTRadio@hushmail.com, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, November 15, 2010. Palestinians commemorate the 22nd anniversary of the declaration of the state while still under occupation. In the meantime, settler harassment continues against the civilian population. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Palestinians commemorate on November 15th what is called the Declaration of Independence, a document that was adopted by the Palestinian National Council in Algeria in 1988. The National Council is the highest political reference of the Palestinian people as it represents all the Palestinians in the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and in diaspora. In its 19th round in Algeria, the PNC declared its acceptance to the United Nations Resolutions 242 and 338, which state that Israel should withdraw to the borders of 1967 and give the Palestinians the right to establish an independent Palestinian state on these borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. This document paved the way for peace talks with Israel, which led later to the signing of the Oslo Accords and the later agreements, which were supposed to lead to the establishment of a Palestinian state in 5 years. In the meantime, Israeli settlers continue to vandalize Palestinian farmlands in different parts of the West Bank. On Sunday evening, a group of extremist Jewish settlers torched at least 200 olive trees that belonged to residents of Salem village near the northern West Bank city of Nablus, and also torched a number of nearby farms. Adli Shtaya, spokesperson of the Salem Village Council, stated that the settlers were seen heading to Elon Moray settlement after setting the trees ablaze. Shtaya added that these trees were planted in Palestinian lands adjacent to the settlement and that Israeli soldiers prevented the local Palestinian villagers from reaching these orchards in the area. Meanwhile, an army spokesperson stated that the army did not receive any complaints against the settlers and that the incident is being dealt with as just a fire accident and not as a deliberate act of vandalism. In other news, Israeli troops abducted 3 Palestinian civilians and broke into a number of homes and a mosque in the West Bank city of Hebron. Eyewitnesses reported that the military broke into the houses of Ashraf Ashlamon, Hamza Al-Jabari, and Anas Al-Jabarin and took them to unknown destination. Troops set up a checkpoint at the entrance of the city and searched passengers' documents, which caused delays and traffic jam on the main road at a time Muslims are preparing for the Al-Adha Eid holidays on Tuesday. In political news, the United States had offered Israel a $3 billion weapon deal in exchange of a 90-day settlement freeze in the West Bank, media sources reported Monday. The source added that this offer was presented to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in his meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on Friday. While the suggested freeze did not include Jerusalem, it is not expected that Israel will reject it. Palestinian political analysts suggest that the U.S. offer is weak as it does not pressure Israel in any way to adhere to past signed agreements or international law, but merely forestalls the inevitable failure of peace talks between two vastly unequal players. In addition, other analysts went far as saying that this offer is an attempt by the U.S. to bribe Israel to do what is required to do under international law. By this, we come to the end of our news for today. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. You've been listening to Palestine Today from the International Middle East Media Center. www.imemc.org. This report has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and George Rishmal.
The British military is reporting the death of an occupation soldier from an IED blast in the southern Nad Ali area, Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on Sunday, the 14th of November. The Pentagon is reporting that Corporal Sean D. Fannin died from a non-combat-related incident in Mazar-e Sharif, Balkh Province, Afghanistan, on Friday, the 12th of November. The Danish military is reporting the death of a Danish occupation soldier from an IED attack somewhere east of Goresht, Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on Sunday, the 14th of November. NATO is reporting the deaths of three occupation soldiers from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan on Saturday, the 13th of November. NATO is reporting the deaths of three occupation soldiers from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan on Sunday, the 14th of November. NATO is reporting the deaths of an additional two more occupation soldiers from the insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan on Sunday, the 14th of November. Afghanistan today. In eastern Kunar province, insurgent fighters fired guns and rockets at a U.S. base near the provincial capital of Ashgabat. One rocket scored a direct hit on a fuel container inside, starting a fire that destroyed six armored vehicles and an ambulance, according to NATO and Afghan officials. The six armored vehicles destroyed were mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles known as MRAPs, which cost as much as $1 million apiece. Afghanistan yesterday, 12 NATO fuel tankers were set ablaze in the Bisud district of Nangarhar province after the attackers chased off the drivers. Pakistan yesterday, at least two more NATO fuel trucks were burned in Balochistan province in southwestern Pakistan, resulting in the death of the driver of one of the vehicles. The trucks were carrying fuel supplies for NATO vehicles in neighboring Afghanistan before they were set ablaze by gunmen on Sunday. One of the tankers was torched in the town of Khuzdar in Balochistan province, while the second was set on fire in the province's Bolan district. Unknown gunmen, mounted on a motorcycle, first told the truck driver to leave the vehicle before it was set on fire, a Press TV correspondent reported today. Mr. Barack Obama, after 9 years of war in Afghanistan, does this sound like something U.S. troops could ever win? Now's the time to throw in the towel. Bring all the troops home today.
And no amount of money you could give me, honey, couldn't pay me, ain't going back again. I ain't going back again. I ain't going back again. You won't see me back there again. No, you won't see me back there again.
suppose army recruiting ads had to have side effect warnings like drug advertisements on TV do.
The United States Army may not be right for every patient. Side effects can include distress, disillusionment, bitter resentment, isolation, traumatic and post-traumatic stress, sociopathic behavior, uncontrollable sobbing, uncontrollable violence, prosecutions for war crimes, prosecutions for domestic crimes, loss of contact with loved ones, loss of ability to love, brain injuries, blindness, depleted uranium poisoning, flashbacks, horror of death, horror of being away from death, loss of the use of limbs, loss of limbs, death, suicide, excruciating pain, the desire to feel excruciating pain, overwhelming rage and misery, loss of hearing, punishment by the army for failure to obey illegal orders, punishment by courts of law or by enemy forces for obeying illegal orders, torture, humiliation, shame, dangerous habits of blind subservience, or the wasting of what could have been the best years of your life. If you experience any of these symptoms, deal with it, sucker. You already signed your name on the dotted line.
Conspicuously absent from all the debates and political advertisements inundating the airwaves before the November 2, 2010 congressional midterm election was any discussion about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan from any perspective. Suicide bombings and massacres are continuing in Iraq, overwhelmingly affecting civilians, while the Iraqi government has been deadlocked since elections this past March. The number of Americans dying in Iraq has dropped sharply, while in Afghanistan, 2010 has been by far the deadliest year of the nine-year-old conflict, with 413 Americans killed so far. Yet, neither incumbents nor their challengers were talking about the wars, and the media have almost universally ignored the issue during the 2010 campaign. Aaron Hughes, organizing team leader with Iraq Veterans Against the War, served in the Illinois National Guard from 2002 to 2006 and was deployed to Iraq for 15 months in 2003 to 2004, driving a supply truck. His original six-month tour of duty was extended three times. After returning to the U.S., Hughes joined Iraq Veterans Against the War, which now has 2,000 members, including a growing number of vets from the Afghan War. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Hughes about the phenomenon of political and media war amnesia in this year's election and its implications.
I recently watched The Daily Show, and the president was on The Daily Show just the other day, and he came on and he talked about why he won the election. And he brought up all these different types of reform, like health care reform. And during that little segment, he did not mention the fact that he won or had ran on an anti-war platform. And he didn't once bring up the war, nor did John Stewart. And, you know, on a really personal level, I just found it just insulting or dismissive. I mean, I understand that he has political points, and he's in the middle of a majorly contested election where the Democrats are trying to hold on to seats, and, you know, I understand all of those politics, but to not even acknowledge these wars are going on, it doesn't seem to acknowledge the sacrifices and the loss that's been going on. You know, the repression of these issues, I think, is why the suicide rate is so high and why the self-destruction of veterans on their return is so high, because no one is acknowledging these wars. You know, outside of people's political perspectives on the wars, the fact that people aren't even acknowledging that they're taking place and that people are losing their lives and having to kill people, it's just a disgrace. I think it's really saddening to me. You know, one of IVAW's main positions, Iraq Veterans Against the War, right now is we just launched a campaign called Operation Recovery, Stop the Deployment of Traumatized Troops. Because right now, a bare minimum of 20% of the soldiers, according to the DOD's own statistics, are already diagnosed with PTSD or military sexual trauma or traumatic brain injury. And they're being redeployed and redeployed and redeployed. And they're being redeployed because the military's numbers are so low that they keep having to rely on the same number of soldiers to fight these occupations. And my perspective is, if this country isn't behind these wars, why are we keep sending these young men and women off to fight them?
Have you seen any response yet to your campaign by any branch of government?
At our campaign announcement on October 7th, the anniversary of the Afghanistan invasion, our campaign was brought up at the White House briefing, and the response was to refer to the Department of Defense regulations. And according to the Department of Defense own regulations, they are violating those regulations. And we know that we're in an uphill battle to enforce these regulations, but the fact that no one in Congress or Senate is actively trying to enforce the Department of Defense to hold up to their own regulations.
Aaron Hughes, why do you think no politicians are talking about the wars?
When the wars are so unpopular publicly that there's not a right answer for a politician to take. And so it becomes a political discourse. It's one where what they're saying, no matter what they say about the war, it's not going to improve their ratings. Whether they say that they believe in the war, or they say they don't believe in the war, or whether they talk about the complexities of the war, no matter what, acknowledging the war is not going to help them win the election in any direction, especially with over 70%, somewhat of 70% of the population not believing, not agreeing with these wars. So I just think it's a politically problematic thing for politicians to be bringing up if they are trying to win an election.
What will Iraq Veterans Against the War be doing after the election? Will you continue focusing on your Operation Recovery Project or other things?
We have a multiplicity of projects that we are working on, but our focus as an organization right now is Operation Recovery, and we're focusing on this because we just find it to be the most egregious act of the military to continuously redeploy these troops that it knows and is aware of that they have already been diagnosed with these conditions. And the fact that they give them prescription drugs and redeploy them, I think is extremely problematic. And we're working in that practice. I don't know anybody that can say they're for the deployment of traumatized troops, and we're hoping to end that practice. So that's our focus. But we also do work around truth and recruiting, trying to inform youth about the realities of serving within the military. And we also do solidarity projects. We work with U.S. Labor Against the War to support Iraqi union working rights.
Is there anything you want to add about this situation where wars are being ignored, basically?
I think this just shows us as individuals that aren't necessarily a part of the political system that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of coming together and raising our voices about this issue, because if we don't force the politicians to take on the war, these wars are just going to drag on, and we're going to force more and more service members to lose their lives. And the question is, what for?
That was Aaron Hughes of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Contact the group by calling area code 217-898-9083 or visit their website at ivaw.org.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQT Radio at Hushmail.com. WSQT Radio at Hushmail.com. A key reason the Democrats did so poorly in the recent elections was they were widely seen as having betrayed their base. Here's what the Black is Back Coalition had to say about Obama, the war, the bank bailouts, and the police as they marched on the White House on the 13th of November.
No more police.
Occupy ghetto streets.
No more U.S. Marines.
Occupy Middle East.
Now there it is, a very explicit comparison of the occupation of neighborhoods of color by the police and gentrifiers to the occupation of the Middle East by the U.S. military. In another vein, one speaker at the rally after Black is Back marched to the White House pointed out that when in Philadelphia, a young activist asked Obama, quote, "What about the black community?" He was physically brutalized by police, and then criminal charges were filed against him just for asking a question. Here is an analysis of his question, "What about the black community?"
Our people, what about the black community? What about the black community? While the banks are being bailed out by the Obama administration, our people are being kicked out of their homes, kicked out of their apartments. They don't have any place to live. People are homeless. The homeless shelters are bursting. People are losing their homes. The biggest piece of wealth that a black family has, if they have it, is home ownership. And more black people have lost their houses in the last 2 years than since slavery. In the last 2 years, if they got $1 trillion or $14 trillion to bail out the banks, they got $14 trillion for decent housing for our people and communities all over this country.
Still wonder why younger voters and African Americans didn't turn out in huge numbers to vote for a bunch of Democrats again?
They're showing you every day in 1,001 ways that this is their system. But I'm not a mule, I'm not a donkey, I'm not a tool, I'm a human being, and I'm gonna fight for the rights that we have as human beings, brothers and sisters. We're not gonna sit passively by and let this happen. We didn't come this far. We worked too hard. We want our children to have a better life than we have. Isn't that why we live? We live for our children, so that our children can have a better world than we had. But what we're doing, we're looking around today and we're seeing that our children are gonna have a harder time than we have. Why should any black, Latino, or even poor white youth, why should anybody have to die on the battlefield of Afghanistan just to get a scholarship to go to college? There's enough money in this country to provide a free college education for every student in this country. Why should parents have to mortgage their home 2 times, 3 times, just to get their children through college?
I don't know about you, but given the fact that the Obama surge of 2008 was not repeated in the 2010 election, I have a feeling that the discontent that black is back is tapping into is shared by a lot of people. I ain't talking about teabaggers here or anybody else dumb enough to vote for a Republican. I'm talking about people who live in our communities and are sick to death of the lies and false promises that we've been getting from Democrats and Republicans alike.
Well, DNA is natural. It's the building block of life. And when the good Lord put it together, you know, I think he did it upright. He made lots of different organisms, a complex web of life, each one dependent on another, and so the circle it closed up tight. But then along came a man and a microscope, and he separated the genes. And when he put them all back together, he made lots of strange, unnatural things. And now food crops grow on the ocean floor, cows that grow on trees. Now the ranchers gaze while their oysters graze on grass that depends on a hormone spray in our genetically modified world.
On the 7th of November, the American College of Toxicology met at the Baltimore Marriott Waterfront Hotel. At this convention were a number of animal research firms, including puppy killing Huntington Life Sciences, where undercover investigations have caught so-called researchers punching beagle puppies in the face and dissecting live monkeys with no painkillers. A blizzard of phone calls forced the hotel to agree never to host this convention again, but they refused to cancel, so animal rights protesters showed up outside.
Once again, we are here for the Marriott Hotel because Marriott is hosting the American College of Toxicology. The American College of Toxicology brings together horrible vivisection leaders such as Huntington Life Sciences, Covance, and Charles River Laboratories. The Marriott has been made well aware of why we are here. The Marriott has been getting phone calls all this week with concerned citizens asking them nicely to cancel their contract with the American College of Toxicology. The Marriott and Ed Rosinsky has has stated and has agreed to not host the American College of Toxicology again next year. Marriott and Ed Rosinsky, we're going to hold you accountable for this and check back, keep on checking back and making sure that you don't let these monsters inside your hotel again. HLS!
Shut them down!
HLS! Shut them down! HLS!
Shut them down!
At first, protesters used powerful bullhorns in front of the hotel, but Baltimore cops threatened to arrest them for sound equipment, even though there is no law prohibiting its use, and even tried to intimidate protesters out of recording this exchange.
Because we've heard that before, and I checked. I called various agencies, I called various services, and couldn't find those laws on the book.
Yeah, you can't use the amplifiers. You can stand here and do it. You can stand here and do it.
What's the law?
I don't know. Go get it in writing and bring it back to me, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
First
of all, I'm not giving you permission to tape me or take my picture, okay?
It's legal to tape police officers in a public spot.
Ma'am, I told you, I'm not giving you permission to tape me, okay?
You hear me asking for permission, you stupid cop?
This is a public area. You can't deny permission in a public area. If you don't want to be filmed in a public area, then you can't come to public areas.
To do your thing here, but you cannot use the amplifiers.
What?
You cannot use the amplifiers,
the
okay, and that's it.
What's the law then?
Disorderly conduct. People pay to come here to sleep, okay? To sleep. This is a hotel.
Alright?
Doesn't matter if it's 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. If they pay to sleep, that's what they're here to do. If you want to do your demonstration, that's fine, but you cannot use the horns to do it.
This is a,
that's the
this
bottom
is a,
line.
This is for zoning now. This is zoned as a business area, and so.
Well, they don't have a law. Like, you'd ask us to bring a law because he says we're violating a law.
All those threats didn't work. You just heard those cops right here. The protests went on for at least a half hour after that confrontation. In the Baltimore Marriott Waterfront Hotel, the American College of Toxicology, and for Huntington Life Sciences, there's no sleep for the wicked.
For the past 64 years, the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, has been graduating assassins, dictators, and death squad leaders to do the dirty work of the elite in Latin America. The taxpayer-funded SOA has left a trail of violence and suffering in every country where its graduates have returned. Hundreds of thousands of Latin Americans have been tortured, raped, assassinated, disappeared, displaced, and massacred by those trained at the SOA. Enough is enough. Every year, thousands gather in Georgia to protest U.S. military involvement in Latin America. Join us at the gates of the SOA this November to honor the victims, celebrate the resistance, and pressure our government to shut down the school once and for all. From November 18th to 21st, we will have live concerts, speakers from around the world, street theater, workshops, and more. For more information on how you can stand with us to end the injustice, visit soaw.org or call 202-234-3440.